Well, the Gospel of John in the chapter 10. The Gospel of John in chapter 10. And we'll read from verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were, which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his own word. Well, I want to take for my text this evening the verses 14 and 15 of John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus says, and I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, I want to speak to you on the subject, the flock of God, the flock of God. Now, our text speaks of Christ and his people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker, and he declares in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. He is the shepherd, and the people who are his by redemption are the sheep. The company of God's elect, the people of God are likened to a flock whose shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the flock of God. Well, concerning the flock of God, I want you to observe, first of all this evening, that they are properly shepherded. They are properly shepherded. Verse 14, of course, does not stand alone. There is a contrast to be drawn between the good shepherd of verse 14 and the hireling of verses 12 and 13. And it's very clear that the hireling, in terms of his shepherding, behaves most improperly. He is not properly shepherding the sheep. He does not fulfill the required duties of a shepherd and shepherding. But by contrast, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep are properly shepherded. And so the text reads as such, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Our Lord's relationship to his people is set forth under the emblem of the shepherd and his sheep. And in this verse, these verses, he sets himself forth as a shepherd. And in so doing, certain prominent features of the relationship between him and his people are highlighted. Like the Old Testament patriarchs, the Lord is a shepherd who owns his flock. He owns his flock. He speaks here of these sheep as my sheep. They are mine. He owns them. The flock of God is his flock. The church is his church. Christians are Christ's ones. Those who have been redeemed, they are his. To every believer, the words of the apostle to the Corinthians are applicable. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The apostle says to the flock of God, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Now, if they are not their own, then whose are they, and who bought them with a price? And the answer to both questions, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd. They are Christ's, and he bought them with the price of his own blood. So it's very, very important to notice that straight away. They are his sheep. They are mine. He owns them. Well, it follows then that the Christ who owns his flock, the Christ who has purchased every believer to be his at such a great cost, it follows, does it not, that the same shepherd cares for the flock. It is logical that he will have a care for the flock. And again, of course, you can highlight the contrast that there is between the hireling and the good shepherd. The hireling, in verse 13, careth not for the sheep, but the good shepherd, by contrast, does care for the sheep. He who owns the flock cares for the flock. We would not characterize as a good shepherd one who was careless, one who was lazy, one who was indifferent to the needs of the flock. Christ is not such. He is a good shepherd. He cares for his sheep. He's a shepherd after the order of Jacob. He's a shepherd after the order of Jacob. And Jacob knew what it was to be a shepherd. On one occasion, Jacob, angry with Laban, defended himself as to how he had served Laban as a shepherd. He told him, quote, this 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flocks have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. In the heat of the desert day, and the cold of the desert night, Jacob cared for the sheep that were committed. He cared for the flock that were committed to his care. And likewise, in a far greater fashion, does our Lord Jesus care for his people. Peter declared by inspiration, and also it was his experience, of course, he careth for you. He careth for you. And when that apostle wandered far from the fold, the good shepherd found him and brought him back. And like countless others, like Peter, countless others can say, he cares for me. He cares for me. He is a shepherd who not only owns the flock, but he cares for the flock also. Well, that brings me nicely to the third aspect concerning this shepherd. It is true he is the Lord of the flock. That is the first point. He owns them. He's the Lord. He's, and so on. He loves and cares for his flock. But thirdly, he leads his flock. He goes before them and they follow him. And it's important to realize that they follow him into blessing. They follow him into blessing. The hymn writer wrote, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. The hymn writer knows the Lord as his shepherd. He sees himself in these biblical terms. He knows what it is to be led by the Lord. Knows what it is for the Lord to be shepherding his life. Loving him, caring for him, but also leading him. And as he puts pen to paper, as he considers the shepherd whom he loves, what comes to mind in the second line, how he has blessed me. How he has blessed me. The Lord who leads him into blessing. The shepherd blesses the flock in such a fashion that the hymn writer says that the tongue can never formulate the words to sufficiently tell. A tongue can never tell, although he tries. Pastures abundant doth his hand provide, still waters flowing ever at my side. Goodness and mercy follow on my track. With such a shepherd, nothing can I lack. We are led into blessing, and that is a wonderful thing. Well, it is a wonderful thing to know the Lord, a wonderful thing to have this shepherd as our shepherd, caring for us, leading us, providing for our good. And when one considers this, what folly is backsliding? What folly it is for the backslider to ignore the shepherd, to spurn the shepherd, to reject the shepherd's leadings, to rebel against the shepherd. That path only leads to trouble. And what folly it is, what folly when we read, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Forsaken the apostle, yes, but before he ever forsook the apostle, he forsook the Lord. And what good ever comes of that? The good shepherd cares for us, leads us, provides us, and ever loves us, and we are his. We are his. Well, now, the second matter that I want to bring to your attention this evening is this. We've said that they are properly shepherded, and we can see that very clearly. But secondly, they are personally known. They are personally known. We read in our text of the knowledge Christ has of his people. The words are, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. He knows his sheep, he says, in the same fashion as the Father knows him, and as he knows the Father. In other words, he knows his people personally. He knows his people personally. There are persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father knows the Son. The Son knows the Father. They know one another personally. And the Lord is saying, in the same fashion, I know my sheep. I know my people personally. Now, as he knows his people personally, of course then he knows their number. He knows their number. If he knows them all personally, if he knows them all by name, which he does, he knows their number. Now, that would be no great difficulty, for example, for a minister in for myself with the congregations here. I know each one of you personally. I know your name. That's true also down in Port Lincoln and so on. And I may know the number simply by jotting down the names and adding them up. The Good Shepherd knows his sheep personally, and therefore he knows the number of those who are in his flock. He's able to give an account for each and every one. He knows where all of them are, and none of his flock are ever finally lost. Now in Patmos, John was given a vision of the people of God, of the flock of God, and he wrote, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Now of the number of the flock of God, John said that no man could number them. No man could number them. But Christ is no mere man. He is the God-man. He is the Good Shepherd. He knows all of us. He knows all of his immense flock, personally. And therefore, he knows their number. And what is marvellous about that? And what is marvellous about this whole idea of the Lord knowing his people and knowing their number? Was marvellous for us this evening and is an encouragement to us, is the number of that flock is not yet complete. The number of that flock is not yet complete. There are a people who are yet to be brought in. There are a people in this world, in this land, I believe in this peninsula, who are yet to be brought in to the flock. There is yet opportunity. There is every encouragement for the Lord's people to evangelize, to seek to bring into the fold those who are lost. The day of opportunity has not yet passed. The door of mercy is not yet locked and bolted against the sinner. There is yet time, there is yet hope. There is yet encouragement for the Lord's people to go after the lost. Well, now as the Lord, of course, knows his people personally, so he knows their sins. He knows their sins. To say that our Lord knows his people personally in the same fashion that the Father knows him and he knows the Father is really to say that his knowledge of his people is very, very full indeed. It's really indicating to you just how full a knowledge, how intimate a knowledge he has of all those who are redeemed with his most precious blood. He knows their character and their constitution. He knows their feelings and their fears and their frights. He knows the innermost secrets of their heart. Nothing is hidden from him. And all is known to him. And therefore it follows that he knows our sins. It follows that he knows our sins. And this to me is the most wonderful thing. This to me is the most wonderful thing. The Lord knew all about my sins. But for all that, was willing to have me in his flock. The Lord knew all about our sins, but was willing to have us in his flock. He knew his people, and he knew the worst about his people, and all of their sins, and yet still purchased them with his blood to be his own. When we think of John 6:37, what a marvellous verse that is. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Think of this among those whom the Father gave to the Son for salvation. among that great number were some of the worst and most ungodly of men and women in their unsaved days. And yet the word is, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Think of a man like Manasseh, such an ungodly, wicked, murderous, idolatrous, wretched individual. And yet, the Father had given Manasseh to the Son. And the word is, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And Manasseh did find a place of repentance. He did humble himself before his God. He did pray unto the Lord. He did trust the Lord. He came to the Lord. And the scripture records, Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. He came, and when he came, with all of his sins, horrible, wretched, abominable as they were, the truth of the verse in John 6:37 held, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It is marvellous to think of the breadth of the mercy of God. The Lord knows the worst about us, but yet is happy to be a shepherd to us, is delighted to be a shepherd to us, loves us, guides us, leads us, brings us through this world. Well then, thirdly and finally tonight, I want you to note that the flock of God, they are perfectly safe. They are perfectly safe. Of course, the harling of the previous verses, his sheep are not safe at all. When he sees the wolf coming, he takes to his toes and fleeth as fast as his feet will carry him. And the sheep are exposed to the destruction of the ravenous wolf. But not so the good shepherd. They are perfectly safe. They are perfectly safe. And this verse makes it clear. The flock of God have such a shepherd that sacrifices himself for their salvation and eternal safety. We read in our text of this good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. He sacrifices himself for their good, for their salvation, for their eternal safety. They are forever sheltered, protected from the ravages of the enemy. He dies for them. To what purpose? Verse 9, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The shepherd dies so that the sheep may live. The Lord bears our sin to the cross, that we might be saved. He dies for us. Our sin is borne by him. He is on the tree as a substitute for his people, bearing the wrath that should by rights fall upon us. And it is thus that he secures our eternal salvation. As Peter observed on this point, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Every Christian is brought to God by the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, the just shepherd, lays down his life for the unjust, for the lost sheep, all to bring us to God. And brought to God, we are safe. We are eternally secure. And that is a most marvellous thing, most marvellous thing. And it is our privilege this night, as we are before the Lord. And I just say this in closing, it is our most wonderful privilege. Consider this, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. We have said enough about his knowledge of his sheep. But notice also, he says, and am known of mine. His sheep know him. His sheep know him. And that's the very heart of what it is to be a Christian. To know Christ. To know Christ. To have fellowship with Christ. To be in union with Jesus Christ. To have that indissoluble bond and that wonderful knowledge of the Lord. May the Lord bless us tonight. May we grow in our knowledge of him and May he bless us even around the throne of grace as we come to it.